So each. Hine kol yecholas isha yisraeli v'garshes aram mikirbo. The ability that a person has, what he's capable of doing, is to be megarish, to rid himself of the ra that's inside of himself. Lahafoch es atma me'ra tov, to transform himself from being a guy who's bayad negative to being someone who's good. The kaddish es atma, to sanctify himself. How does he do that? Hu ayyidei habachira shenasan Hashem lana. So we know that's through the koach. Through the koach of bechira, a behemah v'achayim muchrachos b'masein v'machshosein v'chol inyanim. Animals are forced to do things. They have natural dispositions to force to do different actions, to think, to do. They have instincts, and animals don't have an ability to make a real thought out conscious decision. Ulahish, but to a person, nasan Hashem bechira, Hashem gave the ability to actually decide for himself. Sheyuchal livchar zederach achayim or the hefach has v'shalom. He can choose whichever path, the derech achayim or the opposite, God forbid. Uka'av rachaman, and just like a merciful parent will be mevakesh, is kol echad meitano. Hashem, like a merciful parent, he requests, he asks of us, this is a pasuk, ubacharta b'chayim l'man tichya, choose life l'man tichya, that you should stay alive and keep going. Aval he'isha sherotze livchor b'echad mebeiz derachim. When a person now wants to choose, this is a major, major, major principle. A person, in order to make a proper decision about something, is going to have to be above and outside a situation. The Medrash Omer, the Medrash teaches us, Ashri le'ish shu gavoa mipishav. We'll just read the Medrash. Fortune is a person who is higher than his sins. Oy lo le'ish pishav gavoa mimenu. And woe is the person whose sins are higher than him. Okay, now, what does that mean? Ha'im yuchal ha-sheker ba'od b'tshechrus ha-livchor b'tov u'lahachli b'dayter shlo yishtaker yotir. If you have a sheker, a guy who's stone drunk, okay, is he, a rhetorical question, is he able to make a choice for himself when he's stone drunk and say, I'm never going to drink anymore, I'm not going to be a sheker anymore? So obviously when you're in that state, you're not really able to see what you're doing clearly and say, this is good, this is bad for me. How could a person whose mind is all crazed and messed up with under the influence of wine, and by the same token, how could a person overcome his Yetzirah and choose the Derech HaKodesh if inside of himself he's governed and run and in the midst of being caught up with his Nefesh HaBehema, with the animal part that he has inside, or his mind is filled with hundreds of afflictions that the Yetzirah gives him all the time? A guy who thinks that bad things are good or the opposite, like totally confused, that guy is not really going to be able, when he's caught up in the throes of whatever the Nisyonos are going to be, his choices are not going to be all that powerful, and his ability to make a good choice for himself is going to be incredibly, incredibly, I don't want to say impossible, but incredibly difficult. But berega shel, no, v'chein, and therefore mukhracha ish lehis ale al kopanim lif'amim. Therefore a person is going to be obligated at least sometimes to have an experience of aliyah, of making himself higher, getting higher, getting high, picking himself up a little bit, a little Erepurim focus here, picking himself a little bit, Shiyya gavoa mi pishav mi yitzro mi nigi osav mi kolam. If he would be able to be higher and elevated above his sins, his yitzer, all of his nigios, all of his personal tendencies and leanings and things that make him want to do something that he probably really doesn't want to do if he thinks about it objectively. If he's able to be outside of himself a little bit and look back at where he normally is, he's going to make decisions in a totally different way. And at that moment that the person is having the aliyah and he's feeling pure, roe umargish es atzmal Yisrael karov l'Hashem. If he sees himself and feels that he's a Yisrael, that he's a real Jew who's close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'es kol ma'asei ne'uraso, and all of the things, his childish deeds, his teenage stuff, the shtusim, and he sees all that stuff and says, that's like stupid, what am I doing? V'yitzro im netiyosav l'nachash v'fesen. He views the Yetzer with all of the things that the Yetzer pushes as just a venomous snake and serpent. Asher me'atzmo yizbaish v'yivchel lemar. And that person by himself will become a little bit embarrassed when he looks at that guy that happens to be him normally, and he'll say to himself, once again, something along the following, another line we can memorize, Oi, Why am I so embarrassed, decrepit, and tainted by these midos or stupidities that I'm doing? Oy, eichani kotev es atzmi. How am I chopping? Why am I chopping myself down? The asherish avos say nishmas Yisrael asher be, and the root of my of the avos, the neshama of a klai Yisrael, that I have inside of me, mimakora chayim vahakedusha, and I'm taking that neshama which comes from such a source of life and kedusha. Umashlech atzmi bekein shanachashim pesana makom haifush v'amavus. I'm casting myself knowingly in the snake pit, a place of decay and death. Rachman Leitzlan, God forbid. Another person looks at himself and says, "Like, what was I thinking? What, why was I doing that? What was? I know that's not where I want to be, and what I want to be doing. What am I doing with my life?" The Imgam at Abachu Yisrael Einicham Marigish should be Yom Shat Alomid Beasmada Umespal BaKavod of Yecholtecho B'Shar Shatim Miskariv Mat Ela Kedusha. If you, Bachur Yisrael, don't feel on a day, let's say, for example, when you're learning well bi'asmada, a day that you're davening with kavana, the fee, what you're able to do, or at a time that you feel you're getting closer a little bit to gedusha, bosh atam me'atzmecha min shtusecha u'mizuhamim hein be'einecha, if you would feel a little bit of embarrassment about the shtuyot that you might normally be involved with, or the taintings that you have that you know about in your own eyes, kalacha yosa limshal al atzmocha. It's going to be a little bit easier to govern yourself, or liyasher es kol atzmosech, and to straighten yourself out. V'zeu she'amana l'cha li'he'alos es atzmocha. And that's why we spoke about the idea of a person taking and cashing in an opportunity to elevate himself, because that's lo min tosefes la tzadikim gedolim bilvadi. That's not just an extra icing on the cake for big tzadikim. Rakol echad afi matzav amuchrach l'ha'alos es kol atzmocha kapanim l'zmanim l'prakim. Every single person is going to be obligated, at least at some times in his life, to have that experience of going up and feeling a little bit higher, and like we said, outside, elevated above his normal state of being. So let's talk a little bit what that means, because that might sound like a little bit like either strange or hard to understand. So let's put this into simple, very, very simple terms. And the truth is that the terms are extremely simple. We all get caught up with like life, right? Things that are happening, moving. There's a lot of like speed that things, things, you know, go on. And a person very, very often doesn't have a time to make what the Bali Musar called a cheshbon nefesh, right? To stop and think about yourself. Well-known Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Parashas Bilam, where the Pasuk speaks about, Al King Yomra Hamoshlim Bo'u Cheshbon, and the Gemara makes a drash on that Pasuk and says, Hamoshlim Begitzom, a person wants to dominate over his Yetzahara, so he's going to be forced to make what's called a cheshbon nefesh, calculate for himself, what am I doing, and like, how should I be doing things, where am I at in life, and so on and so forth. Right? And that's a very, very important, theme. A person always has to make some kind of cheshbon nefesh that is, that's going to be there. Some of the Balei Machshava point out that there are a couple of times in the Torah, it really in the Nevi'im, that they use the word Eicha. Right? We have the Megillas Eicha, Eicha Yashba. Well, how could this have been that Yerushalayim Ha'ir Abasi Am is sitting like an almana and not with Am Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu there? Eicha. Right? How could that have been? So some of the Balei Machshava point out that there's an earlier Eicha already back in the beginning of the Torah. The same letters but pronounced differently. Aleph Yud Kaf and Hey. Instead of pronounced Eicha, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden and asks him a very famous question, which was, Ayeka, where are you? Right. So when a person is able to, and that was at the time the first chait that anyone had ever done. Hashem comes to Adam HaRishon, Ayeka, where are you? Where are you holding? If we're able to answer that question, be like actually knowledgeable about ourselves, in tune with ourselves, where am I? Like, where am I holding it in my ruchnius? So then a person doesn't necessarily have to get to the stage of the eicha of eicha yashva vadad, etc. But it's a hard challenge. So what he's proposing over here, this idea of ashra isha gavoa mi pishav, the fortune is the person, the matter says, is higher than his sins. What that means is that there are moments in a person's life when the speed of life and the lack of ability to make a real, honest, legitimate calculation and think for himself, there are those times where it does slow down, and he's not necessarily caught up in that same in that same kind of a race all the time. He's able to ask himself like questions, think a little bit more, what do you call it, for, you know, for himself. And it's at those moments, we'll talk about what they are, where the person should be looking at where he's been in the past, where he'd like to be getting to in the future, and then and really start now to think and make that kind of a cheshbon when you're higher than we normally are. So let's say, for example, and the truth is this year you have a lot of these opportunities, so it's like really a very important time to be able to, you know, to do that. Sometimes, listen, he gives an example which would be great for any yeshiva bachar to be able to have. A person feels high in the sense that he had a great day in learning, had a great day davening. He's looking at himself in the mirror and saying, like, I could really be holding like this. Like, I actually see, like, I put my mind to something today and I did it. And do I want to now just spend the rest of my life, like, doing all that stuff that I used to be doing in the past? Again, without even filling in the blanks, what that stuff he's doing in the past exactly is doesn't really matter. But the person, when he stops and says, "Hey, you know, look what's going on over here right now. Look what I could be. Look where I'm holding this moment. Do I really want to go back to being over there? Is that something that I want?" Now he might say, "I don't want to go back to that," and he might make a mistake. Let's say the next day or the next minute, and fall back into certain things. But at least if he has those times where, when he's up, he looks back over his shoulder and say, "Hey, I like something to be different," he stands a fighting chance. That's like, I'm going to call it the ideal kind of a setting, where a Rebbe Bachar and Yeshiva really has just those highs and those great days in terms of his own accomplishments. Sometimes we do things that get us to be a little bit higher than ourselves in the form of different activities and experiences. It can be a Shalosh Shuddah singing, it could be a Kabbalah Shabbos on a Friday night, it could be a tiyul that a person just like is overwhelmed by something majestic and beautiful and says, "Wow, I see the, you know, the light of whatever it is." You know, many different opportunities could be there for a person to have a Yom Tov, a Ne'ilah, something that happens. And yes, let's like point out the most obvious things that are yet to come, the moments that we're going to be experiencing over Purim, the Yom HaGadol HaKadosh V'Hanora, that's up and coming, above Leinu L'Tov, where a person can actually, yes, stop and do a lot of introspection, think a lot about where he is, what he wants to be, what he's accomplished, what he'd like to accomplish in the future, and make those real decisions when he becomes in touch with himself in a way that he's not able to do on a normal kind of a basis. If a person takes those opportunities, so then, like we said, he's off to a good start. To clarify, we did not mean to suggest that the mere act of sitting through a kumzitz and dancing around in a circle by Kabbalah Shabbos, or having a great time in a teal, or sitting through a Purim Suda, or learning or davening, is automatically going to change a person, right? Just to pick on one example, the kumzitz is a meaningless, absolutely meaningless endeavor, unless, right, the person uses the feeling that he might get and the opportunity to, like, have a certain sense of dveikus that he's feeling and say, well, so now let me think through my life. Let me think through where I'm at. Let me think what I'd like to be doing and come more in contact with the real me that I know that I have inside of myself. So you have to and it's like almost sounds a little bit funny and perhaps even not so spontaneous, but a person has to be able to like be going through a moment and then the little like light bulb goes on in his head and he says, "Hey, I'm having a moment right now. This is one of those moments. Boom. Hey, if I'm having one of those moments, so let me think a little bit, you know, what I should be doing and how I want to be going. And all of that. And that's the Maidler being what we call Gavoa Mipishop. If you recall, you saw the Mesilas Hasharim. Mesilas Hasharim brings like a different, you learned the Mashal of the Maze already. I'm pretty sure, right? For people, right? The Mashal of the Maze where if the guy's walking around in the maze, he doesn't really quite know, like where to go. Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I go straight? Do I go back? But the person who's been through the maze before has the ability to direct, hey, you know, at this particular turn, you go here, you go there. When we're caught up in the middle of something, it's very, very, very hard for us to be able to really see what's happening. And therefore, having those moments to reflect when we're not caught up in life is something that's very, very important to, you know, to be able to do. One of the most, stam in life in general, one of the most, you know, powerful things in the world of Kiruv, when people are talking about Yiddishkeit and things to people who are not so affiliated, is exactly the point that was just made. So many people in the world really are always just living a life of like hustle bustle and running and never like ever tapping into having taken the opportunity to ask themselves some very, very basic questions. Is there a purpose to life? Why am I here? What is Judaism? What, you know, and so on and so forth. And oftentimes just the mere encounter with somebody who presents those kind of things and asks those questions and discusses and shows the approach that Yiddishkeit has to some of those thoughts. Hey, you know what? There actually is a reason why I'm here. And it's not just, you know, getting up and going to work and coming home and doing the same thing over and over and over again. But there actually can be a meaning. So when you stop yourself or help someone else stop and actually think for himself a little bit about what he's doing, it's very, very, very powerful and really can go a really tremendously long way. I had this experience when I was in 10th grade. I'd been in Yeshiva Far Rockaway, and I lived in a place called Merrick on Long Island, which is about, depending on who would drive, anywhere between like 10 minutes and a half an hour away. I had some friends who could drive like very, very quick. Like, they weren't gorgeous, like there were lights and other kinds of street signs. But in a normal, like you sat in a bus, a school bus, whatever it was, so it took about a half an hour to get back and forth. Okay. Whatever the reason was, in 10th grade, I did not have a bus to get back and forth. You know what school buses are, right? Like, people still do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Okay. And you did that? You guys do that? Or you live too close?
Too close.
Okay, so you have to make a school bus, right? Wait, the bus driver picks up in front of your house, depending on what the arrangement exactly is going to be. So in 10th grade, I wasn't able to have a school bus, and I used to have to take like trains and buses back and forth, you know, to get the issue. It was extremely annoying. Let's just like say that in a nice way. Extremely, extremely annoying. You wanted to be a chaperone by 7:30, whatever time. I think we'd have 7:30 then, and you were leaving home like at 5:30 something to be able to like, make sure you got there on time. It was very not easy to do. The home was also pretty annoying, and but at home I had this like really enjoyable opportunity day in and day. Well, it wasn't so enjoyable, but it was looking back at it, it was an enjoyable experience to be on the train with like all the people doing the home commute from like the city, from Penn Station out to wherever they were living in Long Island. And you would go, now again, this is a different day and age, so certain things that like would never, probably illegal today also, and would never exist, like, you know, it went on back then. So there used to be on the train, there's something called a beer car. And I don't think they still have this on the Long Island Railroad. They, like, you could just go to a certain train, and they had like a guy who was selling beer, and you could just sit there like and just like drink away like your day at what? Yeah, they still do. Really? Yeah. Okay, how about that?
You have to know what trains to go on. You have to go on like the really nice ones. Metros definitely don't have any food carts.
Okay.
It's
like regular. Yeah, I don't mean like you could borrow the guy's bottle next to you on the subway either, right? Okay, whatever.
Anywhere.
Right. Okay. So the experience of watching. I do not drink beer. I never have. I just push. I can't stand it in the slightest bit. But I used to go on that car. And maybe looking back, maybe I don't mind the smell so much. But I'm not sure. I used to go on that particular car and watch like all the people that would sit there and the people coming in and out and whatever it was. And every day, like contemplating, like, just how many people are living this like. And you can see it in people's faces, like just like miserable existence, like annoyed to go back home, like depressed that I didn't really do anything with myself. It's like what people are dripping mamish with a nothingness and an emptiness in their life. And this idea of being gavoa mi peshav, when a person takes the opportunity to say, if I have a moment where I can be a little bit higher, where I can be a little bit outside the rat race and say, you know, who am I, where am I, what am I doing? It's an incredibly, incredibly powerful thing. And it's something that we want to be taking for ourselves, those opportunities as well. This whole year in general that you're spending in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael is a year like that, where a person is able to just like get away from a lot of the things at home and culture, society, etc. Be in a different kind of environment, a total Yeshiva setting, and be able to say, okay, so now like let me see, look back at what was, what the plans are, what I thought, and let me project into the future, and you know, and so on and so forth. One of the reasons why in many of the yeshivas, certainly this one included, we would really love if and again, I'm not saying this is a practice, we're going to do this, but we would really love if it would have been possible to go back to the olden days where, like, you actually didn't have, like, a daily exposure to, like, stuff and the news and entertainment and whatever it was, and you actually just were, like, quote-unquote, stuck in yeshiva. You the emes is you'd really have a much more positive a much more productive experience like that, because you're actually then becoming gavoa mipeshav, by being out of the norm, by being out of the comfort zone that we had before. It helps us tremendously to think more about where we are at and going to. Now again, we don't have that good opportunity to be totally cut off, so we have to deal with things as best as we possibly can. Whether that's limiting, keeping certain safeguards for ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, again, even with all of the infiltration of society and back home and all of that in our lives, Lamaist, at the end of the day, it is very different when we're here in Eretz Yisrael. I hope you feel that. You should feel that life is a bit different being in yeshiva full-time over here in Israel. And it really is appreciate what that means to be able to just be out of things and then be able to look back into the past and ahead at the future. There was a great tzaddik, the cousin of Maggid, who lived a very long life. He was grandfather of the Piazza Rebbe from Beit Shemesh that you met a couple of weeks back. So he lived to a very, very old age. And someone had asked him once, do you know a particular schus, something that you can look to and say, this was it, that kept me around for so much longer than other people in his time did. And he right away in the spot said, I think I do know, why that is. He said, people, have a certain amount of years, a certain amount of time that you're here in this world. And when you use up your thing, okay, so then you end up moving on. He said, I have something a little bit different. He said, I'm a person who's always changing. I'm a person who's always different than I was, from before. And so, the me that was before, and he explained himself, which I'm just in the middle of, just to follow the thought, the me that I was, from before is not the me that I am, this afternoon or tonight or whatever. So there's always a little bit longer, a little bit more, because there's always something else that's going on. And he explained why is and how is that true. So he had a very interesting practice that every tefillah, when he was engaged in the Shemona Esrei, and he had that feeling of being a little bit closer to the Kisei HaKavod, speaking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, being out of Olam Hazeh, all the real things you're supposed to do during davening. Actually focus and meditate and think about what you're doing, take your time. And he said when he would be standing there in front of the Kisei HaKavod, he always had this feeling of why do I want to go back there? What do I want to go back into Olam Hazeh for? Where I came from. It's crazy and ridiculous over there. I really want to be able to hold on to some of the Ruchnias and some of the Kedusha that I have from the being in the proximity of a Kadosh Baruch Hu during the midst of a tefillah. He said when he would feel things like that, he always is makabel upon himself by each one of his davenings, some new something to work on, after he quote unquote landed back in Olam Hazeh, a little bit more avas yisrael, a little more learning. That different. Who knows? There's millions of things that a person could think of that they want to try to work on. So said the Kadosh Zemagid, because after every davening, and for him as a big tzaddik, a davening itself was a time where he felt a little bit past and above all of life in Olam Hazeh that he was living. He took those opportunities to be makabel something, to try to work on it, to change and develop. And that work, that worked wonders. And we're asking from ourselves the same thing in just a slightly different form. In other words, it would be really super duper uber nice if after every Shemona Esrei we would have this feeling of, hey, I'm in Shemayim and this is really cool and awesome to be here. And I really would rather not go back to my life in Olam Hazeh, except Sim Shalom and Osa Shalom is coming up soon, so I guess just the way it is, I'm going to be back there. But whether or not we're going to be making these real Kabbalos every Shemona Esrei, which is maybe a long, a high order and a long shot to do, but at the very least when we have, like we said before, the moments, the experiences in our lives, we really wanted to make sure to take it seriously. And not lose those times. A Purim Masiba you have tomorrow night. It's really not that far off anymore with it, where you're dancing and you're feeling lebedic and all that. And yeah, a person can feel on a high from that. It's not just, running around and fooling around and feeling wild. It's there's an experience out there. As I always tell people, this is I think an important thing to think about. When a person dances at a Masiba, you're dancing to the words of the song, not to the music part of the song, right? Sometimes we can just get caught up in a beat and a rhythm and whatever it is, but not really understand what we're doing and what we're celebrating and getting excited about. So I always say, dance to the words and not to the music. And if you're doing that, like even you know something like a masiba and dancing and having fun can really be a very positive ruchnius experience. You close your eyes a little bit and think about something new, something different that you want to be working on. Okay, that is for Perek Ches. We're going to pick up now with Perek Tes. Perek Tes begins after like this introduction of the necessity of having an aliyah, the necessity of growth. So Perek Tes now tells us, Eiza Eitzos Lis Ale Ul Dasaken Is Atzmo Behen. Let's give some Eitzos, some pointers and tips, how to elevate yourselves and how to fix ourselves up also. So Talmud Vasek, my experienced Talmud. Betach Sha'ola Nafshach. You probably have asked yourself the following question, and again, even if you never verbalize it, it's a really good question, actually, really probably has been in our minds at some point in time, and it might even happen to us every single day, which is Halo Torah Hi Hakol. We believe that Torah is everything. Af Madar Kadosh Baruch Hu, we even believe that the Torah is the dwelling place, the residence of Hashem Himself. Okay? V'halo lo meit ani. A person says to himself, listen, I'm learning. I mean, I'm here, I'm coming to Stardom, I'm learning in Yeshiva. V'lama eini mis'al. And why don't I feel that I'm actually growing? Why don't I actually feel that I'm being elevated and picking myself up and developing? I'm doing it, I'm here 3 Stardom a day. Like, so like, what's really happening to me? Have I changed? Have I developed? Have I grown in any way, shape, or form? Fair question? Yeah? Another angle on the question. Even though I do have times, you know, I got to admit, I do have those times where I feel myself picking up a little bit more. But so that like a little bit, I had like a certain geschmack feeling last Tuesday. So that's all I'm supposed to do. That I felt like a little good about myself, a little bit higher, a little bit more spiritual sometime, and I'm done. With that alone, I'm going to get to the state that they're requiring and promising me in this book that I'm going to get to. And that state that myself desired and yearned to be able to get. That like I don't really believe that the momentary and infrequent feelings of that I have in my life like are really sufficient. Yeah? Got the question? Fair? Okay. Another question. V'lama od, why is it, and even further than that, how come yeshnam anashim shalomdim Torah, how can we find that you have people who learn, people are learning Torah, u'misparshim imemena chas v'shalom, v'yordim acharkach le'be'er shachas. And sometimes people leave, they distance themselves, they run away from their Torah, and they end up descending mamish down into a bad pit, a bad place, God forbid. Where is that promise that the Chazal taught us? Hamor Shaba Machzira Lamutav. Chazal tells us the marriage in the beginning of a Yikra. Tells us in Shabbos that Pites quotes, this Medrash also, Mo'er Shabba Yach Machzir Lamutav. The light of Torah will cause people to come back to being good. Now, so as he asked any question, if that's the case, how come I don't feel that I'm overly like raising myself, doing tshuva, coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is it that you can have people who learn and like are totally not affected by that in the slightest bit? Sometimes they're just throwing in some of their own frustrations. You can see people who are involved with learning Torah and they're like, again, Rahman Ali taught to say sort of thing, but I think we've heard that you can have somebody who's like, just like a bad guy, not a nice person, the midos are horrible, maybe the person even does bad things, but he's learning, he's in a base medrash. And so like, how can that happen? Where is this idea that if I'm interfacing with a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Limud HaTorah, that I can just like remain so lowly and base? Again, whether it's like those bad guys that are out there who are learning and actually really messed up, or even the me who's not such a bad guy, but like don't necessarily feel like, wow, I'm learning Psachim now, and now like, you know, I'm going to be the biggest tzaddik in the world, and I feel like I'm doing great. Yeah, all legitimate, very down to earth questions. So he explains a little bit, and this is like a very major principle that says, Amnam Cain, it is true. Believe me alom Torah. So it's true that through learning, a person can attach himself to the teacher of Torah, which is Hashem. Aval tzrichim ladas eich lilmal Torah. But the important part is to be able to get to that stage where the person actually is affected and and changed by the learning is only going to come about when a person knows that, again, just using a current day phrase, I don't mean what it sounds like. It means if he knows how to learn. How to learn here doesn't mean he has good alumnus techniques. He knows how to make diukim in Rashi. How to learn means, like, what's my philosophical approach to learning? What am I walking in to a Seder looking to be able to get? What am I really doing when I'm sitting involved in learning and learning the Torah? So he explains a little bit more in detail now. Ubezohar Kadosh Isa. And the Zohar, it says the following teaching. This is like a real important and beautiful idea. And the Zohar Kadosh writes, Man dechashiv tohu levusha iyu oraisa mamesh velo milo uchra. If a person thinks that pair of clothing is the Torah and not something else, tepach ruche, let him blow up and die. And that person is not going to have a chelik in the olam haba. Someone who thinks that the Torah is this levush that I see, he's going to be totally messed up. Zosomeris, meaning, good question. Meaning, mishalomim is the Torah rak b'seichal anoshi yavish bilvad. If a person learns Torah with his raw, dry human intellect, understand? So interesting, chakira, this that. For example, right, if he learns Torah with the same intellectual curiosity and approach that he might learn other subjects, he can learn X, Y, and Z, doesn't really matter what it is, and he can learn the Torah, right? He's mastered Talmud study, he knows all the laws, he knows all the things that it says, he knows the basic opinions, etc. So, Omer Zohar Kadosh She'ein Lo Chelek La'olam Haba. The Zohar Kadosh says that guy will not have a Chelek in Olam Haba. Because the intellect, the plain, simple, base intellect that's there in the Torah is what the Zohar calls a levush, a garment, an item of clothing that's there. And who's wearing that clothing? Who's there underneath that shirt or that pair of pants? That's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When your person is learning, he has to have in mind that he wants to try to reach and get to that hidden God, Shehister Atzma B'Torah, that concealed himself in the Torah itself. Simple little old mush. We're going to borrow Mickey just for a second. Stick your arm in, if you don't mind. You know what? Skip that arm. Got your head. Even better. So I grab on, this is called Mickey's sweatshirt, or sweater, what's the thing called? Sweatshirt. What?
Sweatshirt,
okay. Now, I'm holding on to the thing. Now, Mickey is don't get nervous either, is right now going, or could be, but probably is actually, severely limited in terms of choice of movement, right? Now, if I want, okay, without like abusing you or your sweatshirt, but I can control what it is that you're going to do. You're going to go this way, you're going to go that way, you're going to go that way, you're going to go that way, and so on and so forth, right? And got the idea? Yeah. What am I holding on to? I'm holding on to Mickey's sweatshirt. Now, I'm in control. There's a certain amount of sorry about that. Yeah. Certain amount of connection. That's what it's called. That's there. Not only with the hood of a sweatshirt, but it's true in a person's, you know, if you grab on the guy's shirt, his sleeve, his pants, whatever is going to be. Some items of clothing are a little bit more close to the person's body. You grab a guy's shoes, so then that's like, you know, not as loose on the person. You maybe like are a little bit more, if not directly in contact, but in close contact with the person that's there. But Enoch and I, we all understand that when I'm grabbing the sweatshirt, I'm not really grabbing on to Mickey in the slightest bit, right? Which I'm also not going to do now either, that, you know, the demonstrate what a real grab is going to be. The same thing is true, the Zohar Kodesh teaches us, when it comes to Limud HaTorah, when it comes to learning. There's one level of learning, which is the exterior part of the learning, which is 100% a real part of learning, which is 100% necessary, and that's just the way the world and the Torah is going to work, where, yes, a person has to understand things on an intellectual level, he has to use his mind, he has to grasp, he's going to challenge himself, he has to understand, all of that is 100% true, yeah? But there's also the part of the learning that can't stop there, to only understand the seichel of the learning, without realizing that there's something or there's somebody that's hidden underneath what it is that I'm learning about. So if a person doesn't have that and doesn't understand that, that's where he's going to be plagued by this idea that the Torah is not really going to make all that much of a difference in him, where he's not really going to be all that affected by his learning. Now, in the same exact way that the way the world functions today, that human beings do not go outside without their clothes on. Clothes are like a sort of like necessary thing. Might be just be social norm, whatever it is, but the bottom line is, let's keep it that way. We walk outside, we're wearing our clothes, and you don't not do that, right? Very, very rare do you actually see, like, the guy, you know, by himself, right? You see the clothes that a person wears, and but yet at the same time, right? We all, and immediately the Alma, it's like this also, we're all comfortable saying that I'm like looking at Yaakov right now, and we would all use an expression like that. We're not, and maybe just too long-winded and too like philosophical, but you're not going to say, oh, I see like Yaakov's head, and I'm also looking at Yaakov's jacket, sweater, and shirt, like that. Like you just say, I see him, I'm watching Ellie, Uriel, whoever's sitting there, right? So we, in our minds, and the way we phrase things, is we actually do, even in human terms, associate a person with the clothes that he's wearing, right? I'm not looking at Ellie's jacket and his sweater and his shirt. I'm looking at Ellie, and I confuse, right? I confuse the two things. The same thing is true when it comes to learning. A person, if he only looks at the Torah, as the Zohar calls the lavush that's there, and doesn't realize that something going on beneath the surface. It's actually a person, not a person in this case. There's a God that's there in the. Sorry about that. It's actually a God that's in there in the Torah itself. So then he's actually not going to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam that's there. But imagine, for argument's sake, you had a, you know, I get very comfortable with Ellie's with your coat and whatever it is, and like I go over like one afternoon, and I'm like, I'm talking to your coat, you're sound asleep, and then it's like having a conversation with your coat. Who am I talking to? I'm talking to Ellie Manasseh. No, you're not. Well, he is, like, I mean, there he is, right? But I'm talking to a sweatshirt, I'm talking to a sweater, a shirt, a pair of pants, and all that. I obviously, it's ridiculous. The pair of pants don't mean anything. The sweatshirt doesn't mean anything. It's who's there inside those clothing that actually makes a difference to me in terms of my interaction. Same thing is true when it comes to Limud HaTorah. The trick is going to be, and this is what we're going to be talking about, Mistama more next week. I don't think we're going to get, you know, all that far right now. But the trick is going to be to learn how to, when we engage ourselves in learning, actually like understand and get to that next part. How do I reach the idea where I actually am experiencing and feeling the fact that yes, that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, Melech Malchei Amlachim, that's here with me while I'm learning, and what I'm understanding about the Shitas and Rishonim, about the Nusach of a Birkas HaMitzvah is important, and it's very important, and you don't leave home without that, the same way you don't leave home without your clothes, and a Kaddish Baruch, when he puts himself in this world, gets clothed in the clothing of Torah, but there's more to it than just the, you know, the pure Svaras and all of that combined. The person wants to be a shalem in his learning, to have the entire picture of learning. Of course, he has to have the seichel and the intellect part can never be suspended when it comes to me learning. And he's going to talk over and over again how the ikar of learning is the depth and the eon and the working as hard as you can to get your mind to understand Divrei Torah as clear as you possibly can. But that alone, without recognizing it, this learning is supposed to do something for me. It's supposed to bring me somewhere. So then the learning is not going to have its effect if a person doesn't realize that at all. Both parts are going to be totally necessary. Okay, I think we're actually going to pause over here because we're not going to have enough time to finish up the rest. We're actually going to finish a couple of minutes early right now. I just want to give enough time to each one of the ideas without feeling that we have to rush or go to overtime. So we're going to call things here for right now, and to be continued, Me'ezer Hashem.